It's 7 o'clock. So everybody gets seated, and you're doing really good sitting in this middle section, because you need to sit in the middle of the middle, you know, kind of this middle part of the sanctuary, in order to be able to see everything that's going to happen tonight. And you don't want to miss seeing. You don't want to miss seeing what's going to happen tonight. Because if you look down here, Perry said it looked like a set, like, you know, a video kind of set. And I thought about that, and I thought, it does. And then I thought, you want to know why? Because the Lord said to posture this for fun. Does this look postured for fun? It is. We got the joy here. We got this guy over here who does have a role tonight that will be explained later. So you can just wonder until then. But I have some opening scripture that is right up Proverbs 8, just a few days ago, in the Passion Translation. And, you know, when the Lord spoke the earth into existence, that was all prophecy. None of it existed. He spoke it, and it became. And here's what wisdom said. This is verse 30. Is that 30? I have to pull up my glasses so I have the right part to look through. Yes, it's verse 30. It says, I was there, this is wisdom, close to the Creator's side as his master artist. Daily he was filled with delight in me as I playfully rejoiced before him. I laughed and played, so happy with what he had made, while finding my delight in the children of men. So listen, my sons and daughters, to everything I tell you, for nothing will bring you more joy than following my ways. So we got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart, right? Because Jesus is down in my heart. And because, you know what? I still had people last week telling me that there's just like, there's this edge about the prophetic that sometimes has the voice of fear or the voice of intimidation or just a voice that's scary. So we're postured for fun tonight. And this is what it was like. I mean, this is Bible. I'm reading you Bible. This is Proverbs 8 at the beginning when wisdom said, I was happy. There's another place where it says we were twirling and dancing. And this is not silliness. God does everything in pleasure. Pleasure is a big deal to God. And I could go on a big, long Robbie the Rabbit trail about that. But I won't. I won't, but maybe in the future I'll do a first fruits on that or something. But anyway, pleasure is important to God. And so I want you to have fun tonight. This is fun. Hearing what God has to say is fun. And we're just practicing. And we don't need to hear everything. We don't need to hear every detail. We just are exercising our ears to hear. And then we're exercising our mouths to speak out what we hear. Believing that what we heard was by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord says that he causes us to hear his voice. Tells us that in John 10 and other scriptures. And it also tells us in Romans 10 and other scriptures that he puts his word in our mouth. He puts it in our hearts, and it's around us. And that's always true. It's always, always, always true. And so I just want you to take a big, deep breath, like, and hold it, and then blow it out and release all of whatever was today. We're just going to blow it out and leave it behind so that we can step into a place of fun and a place of joy and a place of pleasure as we incline our ear to hear the Holy Spirit. As we practice prophesying over each other, because we're going to do that. We're going to do that way more tonight than we even did last week. Last week was just sort of setting the stage for this week, which is going to be all the fun. So are you ready to have fun? Yeah. Well, just so we're not totally silly, although I don't know if we can totally rely on our Apostle Bob to not be silly, because I've seen him be silly. But he's going to come and set the apostolic order in prayer, and we're going to start. But I wanted to set the stage here, the atmosphere here, that this is joy, this is fun. There's no intimidation here. There's nothing scary here, including Apostle Bob.
That's dangerous. I'm going to blow up and blow out. So, okay. But this is a safe place, and what better place to learn and to practice than with fellow believers that love you and support you. So this is a safe place. You're covered here. I'd rather make mistakes in this arena than out there where they'll chew you up. So this is where we learn, and so you have liberty to hear. And just say with me, you know, I'm willing to let my fellow believer practice on me. And I'll be bold to deliver the word the Lord gives me for those that I prophesy over. And now, Father, I thank you that you cover us this morning, this evening, with your presence. We thank you that this is a safe place. For you said where two or three are gathered, there you are. And so you are here. You're present, ever present. And we thank you that, Father, you love us, that, Father, you cover us with a shield, a wraparound presence. And we thank you that you're assembling us together. You're connecting us one with another. And so we thank you, Father, that you allow us to make mistakes. And so we allow one another. And we thank you that we're being filled with more of you. And we thank you for this arena, Father, of faith, that, Father, the atmosphere of faith releases courage. So I release courage right now over each and every one of them, Father, to be bold in the Holy Spirit. We're trusting you, and so we thank you that in trust we speak in faith. And you watch over your word to perform it, so we expect you to confirm your word this evening. We thank you for just releasing the word of the Lord to one another right now, that we'll be encouraged, we'll be edified, we'll be built up individually and corporately. And we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Let's just stir up our most holy faith and pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Rabaha Satarabaho, Randa Rabo Soto Ratata Rabo Soto Raha, Randa Rabokore, Brosoto Re, Sarara Laboku, Randa Rabahate, Ruse Sarara Rabohu, Randa Raboko Rabaha, Rasara Rabo Shalala de Kiduruhu, Midi Boho. Randa ha ha buhu rehe bo shaba girene maharende zato to re zarariku randarare boho re sandararara burandararara ha ha. Oh, we thank you and we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. Say amen.
Yes, yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. I love that apostolic order, and I love our apostles. So so I get to honor him by letting him open up like that, because they just let me do the whole thing, which is really nice. And so anyway, we're going to have fun tonight. We're going to practice. We're going to go deeper. We're going to go higher. You know what the Lord is doing? He's elevating our hearing. He's elevating our confidence. He's elevating our speaking. And he wants us to prophesy. You know, that's just the name that we give to speaking what he speaks. So it's nothing scarier than that. And so I'm sure that you have all said to your friend or your family member or yourself or whoever that, I heard the Lord say, or I had a dream, and I heard the Lord say to me in my dream, whatever he said. And so this is not different. It's not different. God made us to hear, and he made us to speak. And if we don't speak his word, you know, things get stagnant. And remember, it says in the Word, and this is about praise, but we have to speak to praise. We have to speak to worship. But he says that if we don't open our mouths and worship him, if we don't open our mouths and praise him, if we don't open our mouths and speak what he will speak, the rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out. And so the Lord wants us to speak. Even Balaam, a prophet who was a prophet, but he was just way off track. But when he wouldn't hear God, because God was speaking to him, but he was tuning him out. And so when he tuned him out, he made his donkey speak his word. Now we know that these are all true verses. They're all true stories because the Bible says they are. And so we don't have to be afraid to prophesy. There is joy in releasing the word of the Lord. And you know, want to know how I know there's joy? Because when somebody comes to me and tells me something the Lord said and about me and they share it with me, you know what I am filled with? Joy and pleasure. It's like, oh, really? God spoke to you about me? Wow. Wow. I remember when I knew Marlene, but I didn't know Marlene's name was Marlene. I just knew her face. And a couple of days before I knew her name, I was just sitting in my chair where I meet with God, and the Lord clearly said to me, Marlene. I didn't even know a Marlene, and I told the Lord that. I said, I don't even know a Marlene. Why are you telling me the name Marlene? And I didn't have any idea, but a couple of days later, Marlene came to First Fruits. And so I'm thinking, gosh, I know her, but I'm so embarrassed. I don't want to ask her name because I don't want her to know that I don't really know her name, but I didn't know her name, okay? And so when I found out her name was Marlene, I came unglued. And so I said to her, God said your name to me. God told me your name. Now, he didn't tell me anything but her name. But when I shared that with her, you know what she felt? Joy and pleasure. Because me, who didn't even know her name was Marlene, I just knew her face, God had spoken her name. And then we connected in a new way through that word that God spoke me was just her name. So I say that for two reasons. One is, the big reason I'm telling you is when you prophesy, you don't have to prophesy a boatload of words. You just don't. And sometimes when you hear a boatload of words being prophesied, there a lot of that is what in the old season they called it hamburger helper. And sometimes in this new season, I see those that are journalists call it word salad. But here at Harvest, we call it, poor little nose is stuck down there. We call that Robbie's rabbit trail. And you know what? If you can't find the word, and so you got to do a word salad and you got to go down Robbie's rabbit trail till you finally hear the word that has an anointing on it so that then you know which direction to go, it's okay. But if all you get is one word, like I got one word for Marlene and it was Marlene, that's okay. Because I know, I could tell by the look on Marlene's face that when she heard her name, not only did it bring joy to her heart, but there was something special about the love of God that broke forth in her heart because God spoke her name to me. And that was it. So I tell you that to say, don't put a bunch of pressure on yourself or a whole bunch of word salad. If all you get is one word or two words or one sentence or half a sentence, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is not how many words can you speak. So just let go of that. We let go of it out of this atmosphere. If there's any unreasonable demand, if there's any voice of the enemy of intimidation or anything that would cause just a scariness or a hush to enter into the hearts of the people here, Lord God, Father, I shut that door. I shut that mouth in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that this atmosphere is only open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, and every other voice and every other spirit spirit, we shut down right now in the name of Jesus. And by agreement, we say nothing but God, that we're moving in his presence and by the spirit of the Lord and by nothing else, and that we put our trust in the Lord. We don't put our trust in anything else. And so we just thank you, Lord, for that pure, clean atmosphere, the open heaven, and that you made us to be hearers and speakers. Amen. So we're just still kind of just setting it all up here so that it can flow and flow fun. I like fun. I mean, I do. I love having fun. So the first, we're going to do two sessions tonight. The first session's a little longer than the second session. And so the first one is personal prophecy. So I'm going to share just a little bit about that, and then we're going to have some demonstration, and then we're going to have practice. So personal prophecy. I'm going to read you one right out of the Word to show you that there's personal prophecy. Jeremiah 1:4-10. This is the Lord himself prophesying to Jeremiah, but it sounds just like a prophetic word, like how the Holy Spirit has pattern for us to speak. And so the Lord said to me, meaning Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb. You notice the Lord is speaking first person. He's saying, I. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Now, that little list there at the end about uproot, tear down, destroy, overflow, build, plant, those are all descriptive words of what a prophetic word does. Because you remember, he was telling Jeremiah in this prophetic word, you are a prophet. And this is what happens when prophets speak the words I put in their mouth. There is a tearing down, a uprooting, a destroying, an overthrowing, a building, a planting. Wow. And I'm not going to go down Robbie Rabbit Trail, but if I had time and I could, I would. Because I would show you in Genesis 1 and 2, in the very beginning in creation, how there were things that were uprooted, and that there were things that were built and planted. You can go read that and see that. The Holy Spirit will show you. Another verse here about to undergird personal prophecy. Psalm 139, verse 16 in the Passion says, you saw who you created me to be before I became me. Isn't that just the most profound statement? God saw who he created me to be before I became me. And that's for each one of us. Before I'd even seen the light of day, because remember, we're not born yet. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. You know what that means? God wrote your life prophecy in a book before you were born. So this is how I personally think when I do personal prophecy over somebody. I'm asking the Lord, just tell me something in the book. Just tell me something written in your book and I'll just speak it. I don't have to understand how it fits in. I don't have to make it make sense. I just need to hear something that's in the book, right? So that's for you tonight, because we're going to prophesy personal prophecy over each other. So all you need to do is just hear something God wrote in the book. It can even be a word. So, personal prophecy. This is a word about you. That's what personal prophecy, I'm defining personal prophecy. It's a word about you, not somebody or something else. It's about you. That's what personal prophecy is. Now, here's some qualities of a personal prophecy. It speaks to your identity. It's how God sees you. In the example above, it identifies the call of God on Jeremiah's life. Now, every prophetic word doesn't identify a call, but it'll somehow will be connected. Many times it identifies God's heart toward you and how he sees you. many times in prophetic words. I've released a lot of prophetic words. I've been blessed to receive a lot of prophetic words and hear other people's prophetic words. So these are trends that I've seen in prophetic words through the years. That a lot of times the Lord will speak to you about you being victorious. A lot of times he'll tell you you're loved. A lot of times he'll tell people, I hear the desires or the cry of your heart. He'll also say things like, I was with you when you went through something. Those are common things that God says. Does that mean you're going to prophesy those tonight? No, that's not why I'm telling you this. But I want you to see that God has patterns. And he has areas that he speaks into on a regular basis. But sometimes you get a totally unusual word that doesn't fit any of those categories, and that's okay. Because our God's a limitless God, and we don't put boundaries on him. I've had some words that I thought, no, you missed it. That does not apply to me. And many years later, it did. I still have not had a false prophetic word. Another quality of a prophetic word is it can highlight where you are an influencer. Did you see how I'm using today's language? You know, I'm not being a baby boomer. All right, I'm proud of myself for that. So anyway, so sometimes in a prophetic word, it could say something like, children, listen to what you have to say. Or it could say something like you have a knack. I just can't think of the right word, so I'll just call it a knack. A knack for business. You know, it'll identify some place where you're an influencer. So maybe you're an influencer with children, or maybe you're an influencer in business, or maybe you're an influencer in school, or maybe you're an influencer with peers. You know, and I can make a very long list, but it's not unusual to prophesy for God to speak out of that book something about an area where you're an influencer. It can also highlight particular qualities that you've been given. You know, I've heard many prophetic words where people have been told that they're going to write things. I've heard many that say, excuse me, that say that you're creative. I've heard many say that sometimes it'll even get more specific than that. It's like you like music or you write music or you sing music, or I don't want to just stick with music, because sometimes it's about being a people person. You know, that there's always a group that's with you. Sometimes it's about being an entrepreneur. Sometimes it's about being a leader. What I want you to see here is the kind of parts that make up a prophetic word, just so that you will not feel weird. And you'll see that this is normal. What prophetic words do is speaks to your identity, and then I spoke a whole bunch of stuff about that, but it also encourages and touches your heart. Like I said, when the Lord spoke to me, just Marlene's words, so all I could say to her was, God prophetically spoke to me your name, and I didn't have another word, just one word. It touched her heart and encouraged her. And that's a quality of a prophetic word. Another quality of a prophetic word is it's always connected to your future. You may not know how it's connected to your future. The prophesier probably has no clue how it connects to your future, but God will interweave it, and he'll make that known. The other quality that I want to point out, now this is not the all-inclusive list of qualities of a prophetic word, just the ones that I felt I was to point out. Another quality of a prophetic word is it activates. I really like that part because it reveals things you didn't know about yourself. Like with Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't know he was a prophet. And here God said, oh, you're a prophet. And I took these words out because Jeremiah talked back to God and basically said, oh, no, not me. And that's when he prophesied this part over him where he said, do not say you're too young. Because he was objecting. He didn't see himself. So obviously Jeremiah didn't see himself as a prophet. So it activates things. It activates things you did not know about yourself, and then you become aware of. And often, it will cause things to start happen. This is one of the dynamics of the prophetic word. You know, when in this list here in Jeremiah, which is also just a partial list where it uproots, tears down, destroy, overthrow, build, and plant, that sometimes what you will see is the prophetic word you received starts to cause things to build into your life. And you see a whole new dynamic start to build into your life. I remember some of the very first prophetic words I got, which was in the late 80s, were all about prayer. And I was not involved in prayer at all at that time anywhere. In fact, I wouldn't even call myself an amazingly praying Christian at that time. I mean, I did pray, but it wasn't a big part of my life. However, after I got those prophetic words, it started to take a prominent place in my life. And God started to build that path, and I started to walk down it. Does that make sense? You probably could give me your examples. So it activates. Another quality is it reinforces and confirms. Sometimes what gets prophesied over you, you already know. And so what does that do? That tells you you're hearing God. It tells you you're on track. That's confirmation. I personally love confirmation. Love, love, love confirmation. And so those are just qualities of a personal prophecy. Are you going to have all of those hit in one prophetic word? Oh, highly unlikely. But otherwise, you know, you may have gotten into the word salad kind of thing. And we're not going to do that tonight because we're going to keep things moving fast because we want to get a lot of practice. A lot of times the hardest part is the start. And so that's why I'm going to cut you off before you get done, because sometimes getting done is hard, but getting started is way harder. So we're going to do a lot of starts tonight, probably not too many finishes, because God made us to do this. And so I want you to be comfortable with it. So these are just qualities that as you're prophesying, you might... I'm not saying it's your homework to figure this out, but I want you to recognize what regular qualities are. And so right now, our first activation is going to be, I'm calling up Apostle Linda, that we call Apostle Linda because she is Apostle Linda. But let me tell you that Apostle Linda has an amazing prophetic side. And to those of you that were in Livonia on Monday night and listened to her talk, and it was a beautiful and wonderful talk. In her entire message, she stopped as the Holy Spirit led her, looked at people and prophesied over them and didn't miss a beat in her message. Wow, huh? So I texted her this afternoon. I said, hey, how about doing some of that tonight? And so she's going to do a couple of short prophetic, this is what we call out. So I didn't give her any names in advance. As far as I know, the Holy Spirit hasn't given her any names. Maybe he has by now. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But she's going to do a couple of call outs. And as she does them and you're listening, a couple of things. She didn't prophesy over me Monday night, but I want you to know that all those words she prophesied, there were so many things that applied to me and that I wanted. I just said, oh, that's mine, and I took it. I took it in. You can do that with prophecy. You know, you hear something that you think it is for you too. That doesn't mean that person doesn't get it, but it's not exclusive. And so you can receive it too. And so don't ever get like hurt that God left you out if you don't get called out, because the word is for anybody that grabs hold of it. And I'm one of those people that I grab hold of words because I want it all. I mean, I've told the Lord for years, just I want all of it. Whatever it is, I just want it. If it's God, I want it. I think Steve Swanson has a song about that. That's my song. So if you pick up on any of the qualities, that's great. If you don't, that's great. Don't worry about it. But after she does her couple of call-outs, we're going to sit here and I'm going to interview her. about how did you know to say that? You know, how did that work? You know, we're gonna get into the nitty gritty because I think there'll be a lot of impartation in that. So right now, I just want you to open your hearts. I want you to open your hearts not only to receive, but I want you to open your to receive a prophetic word. But I want you to open your hearts to be activated. Open your. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that you've made such a conducive, wonderful, beautiful atmosphere of safety here, and fun, Lord God, that it's easy to open our hearts to receive the fullness of the impartation that you have available for us here tonight. That you would take us deep, Lord God, wherever we're at, take us deeper. Wherever we are hearing. Level is, take us to a new hearing level. Wherever our speaking level's at, take us to a new speaking and releasing your word level. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your blessing and your hand that is upon each one. And so, Lord, we just cooperate with you. That's all we have to do. We do everything by faith, and we believe you. I've got a microphone for you, Apostle Linda.
All right. Hallelujah. God's always ready. I get intimidated sometimes, but God says, I always have things to say to my kids. Like Dolly, the Lord says, the things that you've been asking, I say, yeah, I say, yes, I affirm those things that I've been telling you. I just say to you, go ahead, take the liberty, step into it, don't hesitate, because I say, Glory, God. And Tina, the Lord says to you, get dressed up for this that's coming. There's something coming. Put on your very best, not just outwardly, but put on your very best, because I'm going to shine. I have an opportunity. I'm going to position you so that I can shine. So go ahead, put on your very best, because it's a special time for you and I to move together. Just like it's your heart's desire always to be one with me. It's my heart's delight to be one with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Vince, the Lord says, okay, son, pick it up and put it out. There's some things just to be done with and put away, because I'm moving you forward. Forward means, in my eyes, for you, upward. There's a place of intimacy. There's a place that I'm calling you to, that I want you to come and spend time in my presence in a new way. And so I'm calling you, come. So put those other things away and out of sight. Get that distractions out of the way and move in close, because I love it when you come close and worship out loud, because I love the sound of your voice. Lord says, I'm just delight in what you bring forth when you just let yourself be spontaneous. I love what comes forth from you. And my Holy Spirit is enabling you to become a very skillful worshiper in ways that you have not even yet experienced. But look for that opportunity and take hold of it. It's going to be really, really good. Hallelujah. And Perry, the Lord says, there's some things I'm taking care of, and you're trying to carry it, and I'm going to take care of. But you know what, son? There's also some things I've given you that I say to you, go and do it. Step into it, because there are things that in your circumstances you have set yourself aside from, as though you're somehow disqualified or unable now. And I say, that's not so. Remember how we walk together, the Lord says? Remember how we do it? And it's my strength, my wisdom, my enabling. So come close and walk with me, because we're going to step into those things that you've kind of stepped out of, and we're going to step into it and bring back some of that joy that's been missing. But know that there's other things that you're not going to be part of. I'm just going to take care of it. Watch and see. Watch and be amazed at what I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Arlene, the Lord says, I got it, and you're going into it. Be prepared. It's not going to be quite as easy as in times past, but it's going to be better than ever, because you're going to carry a new dimension of myself that I've deposited in you. You're going to be able to speak. You're going to be able to speak even just what you heard tonight. There's people who need to hear what I want to say to them. And I say, be my voice. Be my voice. Don't step back. Don't hesitate. Just be my voice. Just step into it and allow me to flow. You're not going to know what to say, how to say it, until you just start speaking, and it'll be right there for you. Because you know what it's like to see me make provision. I'm going to provide things that you have not even experienced before, and what joy it's going to bring into your heart and into mine as it takes place and as people's lives are encouraged. You're going where great encouragement is needed. Let my encouraging word go forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Should I stop?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I know you don't want me that. To stop her, but we got to move on, so we're stopping her. I want you to share, Apostle Linda, just when you were prophesying, what's going on in your brain?
Well, sometimes my brain is the problem, in that, especially when I know in advance that I'm going to prophesy, because I know that the things that come into my mind are rarely what he wants. It's just because I'm off imagining, because my brain is very active. So I have to just be rested and be focusing on him. And in some ways, that's for me why my tool is to talk fast, to jump in fast and talk fast, because otherwise my mind might get in the way. And I don't want to create a word, because I love words, and so I don't want to create something for somebody.
So we've not gone over this. There's five different ways the prophetic can come. There's five different Hebrew words, and we're not going to go into those tonight. But do you know which way you flow?
I think it's, I've never studied all five of the words, so it must be the Nabi flow, because I know it just comes. I rarely know ahead of time, and you know, what's going to come forth. And I know some people get it way in advance, but I don't, so I have to just trust. Oh. It's one of the hardest things and the most wonderful things at the same time.
Let me just tell you what the Nabi flow is. The Nabi flow comes from your spirit, and it just bubbles up, and you just step into it like you do, really, like praying in tongues. You just trust the Holy Spirit, and you start to speak. And we have what we call a diving board, and your diving board is, Gwen, the Lord says. And then you're just believing, okay, when you get to the end of when the Lord says, something's going to be there to say. But you know what? God's good, and there is.
Yes, yes. Sometimes when someone will, I'll see a picture of one thing, and so I start there, but it's rare. It's only a very beginning to get moving. I think the Lord knows sometimes I need a little nudge. Yeah.
I think the most common way is the Nabi flow. But some people do see pictures, and you know, the Lord speaks to them in pictures, and that's okay. You don't have to shove your pictures away, but just speak out of your pictures. You know, if the Lord is showing you a picture of a tree, then what is he saying to you out of that picture? So that's how you move it from the picture to the flow. Instead of just looking at him and say, the Lord says, oh, I see a picture of a tree when I look at you. You know, you want to go further than that. So you have, while you're prophesying, you have this conversation with the Holy Spirit,
that's
right?
That's true. There is something that goes on. Yes.
Do you ask questions to the Holy Spirit while you're prophesying?
I really don't too often. It's just, you know, okay, Lord, I trust you to go further with this. What do you want about that? You know, what are you showing? I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing somebody sweeping. Like, okay, what are you saying about sweeping? But I didn't usually get it till I start talking anyway, so.
What advice would you give us from your beginning days of prophesying? Do you remember anything that in particular that you had to overcome?
I think prophesying is still very intimidating in that, you know, you're positioned and have to have something to say. It's like, what if I don't have anything to say? And that's when the Lord says, and when wouldn't I have anything to say? You know, or just the other day going to that meeting, I thought, well, probably I'm not going to prophesy when I go to this meeting, right? And the Lord said, why are you thinking that? Okay, let's go back over 1 Corinthians 14. Desire earnestly, and this by the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. And I think, okay, and prophecy builds up people, so I have to go over that constantly. Otherwise, I would feel like, oh, well, that's done. You know, I'm not going to do that. But the Lord says, I always have something to say to my kids.
What do you do when you know somebody really well? I think those are the hardest people to prophesy.
That was the hardest thing about coming here. I thought, oh my, I know so many circumstances. And so then I didn't want to speak anywhere close to the circumstances I know. And I was kind of wrestling with the Lord about that. And I says, Lord, you know, I don't want to speak anything from what I know. And he says, but some of the things you know are the things I want to talk about. So that was hard tonight to know that. Because I thought, okay, I know a couple of situations here. And yet the Lord said, prophesy over that person. And so that was hard. Usually I try to avoid people I know because I don't want anything to be man-made, artificial, but things we might know are because we know them. So it's like, okay, God, what do you want to say about that, not what I want to say about it?
It sounds like you have to have a lot of trust.
Oh, my goodness, yes. 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 It always, to me, a prophecy is the hardest thing to step into, the most awesome thing when you do, the most amazing thing when you prophesy, when you finally step into it and let that flow, because he's coming right through you. So you're, you know, you might be giving an encouraging word to someone, but you're being impacted. I'm being impacted. So it's the most exhilarating when that's taking place. And then it's the most exhausting afterwards. I'm the most tired after prophetic ministry. And I think it's because of that I must trust him, you know. But his words are always rest, rest, you know. So I think, okay, I can't have a stress about it. I don't think it works very well when I am stressed. So I have to purpose to rest and trust.
I have one more question for you. I know, because we've had discussions about this, that you are very passionate about personal prophecy in particular.
Yes, I am.
Would you share with everyone why you have this passion?
Because that's how my walk with the Lord began. You know, I'll try to tell it as briefly as possible, but in several years into our marriage and couple kids along the way, I just determined life was pretty empty and where was I going? Nothing was. And so I, at night, had packed my suitcase to sneak out and leave my husband and my two children. And when I got into the car, I just thought, where am I going anyways? This is just what life is. You know, it doesn't matter where I go. I might as well just stay here. And then I started crying out to the Lord certain things, and it felt like, yeah, it goes about as high as this ceiling. Nobody's listening. And so I went back into the house, unpacked my suitcase, and no one was the wiser. But several weeks later, I was in an unusual church service, unexpectedly there, and the preacher was preaching and then stopped in his preaching and went down off the platform, came over and laid hands on me and said, Linda, the Lord said, or daughter, you know, he didn't know my name, daughter, the Lord says 2 weeks ago, you asked me some questions and I want to answer them. And he prophesied, he spoke what I had asked and then spoke forward into my future. And how can you doubt that God is real, that God knows us, and that he cares about us? And I think if any prophetic word could help anyone to recognize the reality of how much God loves us and how much he's caring about each one of us, then we have to let his word be spoken.
Thank you. Wow, huh? Wow. Those are the things that impact the heart. And that's what the prophetic word does, is it impacts the heart. And we're going to do some practicing of personal prophecy. So this is beyond getting a thought from the throne and you know, those things that we've done up till now, because we're going to endeavor, believe the Holy Spirit, press past intimidation if you're facing it, and go through the door that's open, because God wants to bless whoever it is that you're practicing on. And it will be a blessing. You know, as Apostle Linda just shared, why many years later, I've never heard anybody stand up on such a consistent basis that personal prophecy cannot be overlooked and removed from the church. It is so important. And I would say, yes, it is. And you would say, yes, it is, because there's so many things that you wouldn't know that God is thinking if that door was shut. And one of the things that I love, I'll just do a little, raise my hand and testify about how wonderful this church is because that door has never been shut here in this church. We have always made a place for personal prophecy. Sometimes we did a lot more than other times, but we never shut the door. It was always made available when someone said, I need a prophecy. And sometimes, you know, you get a place in your life where you come and ask, just like you'll ask to be prayed for healing, you'll ask for a prophetic word. And this church has always responded to that, whether it was somebody inside the church or even outside. And so part of this training is because you are here. So you're part of a prophetic people. We talked about this in the last prophetic training, but I'll just stir it up in you right now, just quickly to say that God has an anointing upon this church to prophesy. And so in all honesty, while everyone can prophesy, God's got a special anointing on us. And I know there's other churches like that. We're not the only church on the earth like that, but other churches have this anointing as well. But that makes it even easier for us because there's a special grace. There's more grace for us to prophesy. So I don't know how many ways to convince you to press past whatever intimidation or fear that might come with releasing a prophetic word of the Lord, but press through it. Step beyond it. Go beyond that place where the voice of the enemy is holding you back. Because the word of the Lord is so important, and you don't know what it's going to do. In this instance, as Apostle Linda was very vulnerable and told what was going on in her life at that time and where she was at mentally, emotionally, it totally changed her life. It totally changed her life. So with all that exhortation, I want you to stand up and find a partner, because we're going to do it. Find a partner as quick as you can. I can't tell you to find somebody you don't know, because you know everybody. So just find somebody. It doesn't matter if it's a male and female group, or two males or two females. Just get together. Just get together. If you don't have a partner, raise your hand. If you don't have a partner, okay, we got two here that can find each other. Okay, is there anyone else that does not have a partner? Okay, Carl back here doesn't have a partner. Josh doesn't have. Now Josh has. Now Josh is going to be a partner with Carl. And so I see our apostles are partnered up. I'm gonna call our apostles out of partnership, and let those two be partners, because I'm gonna call them into coach positions. I know that they would really rather prophesy, and probably you want them to prophesy over you. So, but don't be mad at me because I pulled them away. But what we're going to do, I want to tell you this in advance so you don't think you're doing something wrong. We're going to come around and we're going to put our ear so we can hear what you're saying, so that we can add encouragement. And sometimes somebody who's more practiced in releasing a prophetic word, they carry a prophetic strength. So sometimes just coming and standing next to you, you will feel the strength of the prophetic strength next to you, and you'll feel an increased anointing and an increased ability to speak. So don't think we're there to like judge you or correct you or something like that, but we might help you. If you seem stuck, we might suggest something that'll help you to get unstuck. So is that okay with everybody? I want you to know that there's absolutely no criticism here. It's like criticism wouldn't even do anything. So I want you to know that. So what we're going to do, now that you've got a partner, I'm going to give a little more detail here and pray, and then we're going to start. And I'm going to have the shorter person prophesy first, and then the taller person will prophesy second. And I want you to, while I want you to be listening for the Holy Spirit, what to say, what he's saying, so you know what to say over the person you're prophesying to, I also want you to have an ear to hear the microphone, because I'm going to tell you, switch. And it doesn't matter if you're done or not, because we're not trying to finish, we're trying to start. So I want to do a bunch of starts. So I'm going to have you, we're going to do a bunch of starts so that you can do the launch, because the launch is the hardest part. So we're going to practice the launch. So I'm not going to let you have a lot of time to prophesy. So you're not going to get real far, okay? So don't get frustrated about that. Even though you got a word for them, maybe you didn't get it all out. It's okay. And so you're going to start. The shorter person is going to start. And then when I say switch then. Don't even land it. If you're somebody who went to prophetic training in the old season, we used to talk about landing it. We're not going to land it today. We are just going to switch. So even if you're in the middle of a word, we're just going to switch. It's about switching, and we're going to start. We're going to go back and forth. And I'm going to try and do it rapidly. So I'm doing all of this painstaking explaining so as to not cause a lot of confusion when we do it, okay? Everybody got that? Is everybody good with that?
Yes.
Yeah? Don't tell me if you're not. Will you do it more than once with this partner? Quite likely. In all honesty, I'm going by the Spirit too, so we'll see. I don't have those kind of details planned out, because I'm trying also to go by the Spirit. How does he want to do it?
Amen.
So I'm going to pray a prayer, and short person, be ready, and then be ready to switch, okay? All right. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have something to speak for the person that we're going to speak over and that we're going to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Lord, that in your word, you make it so clear that you've given us ears to hear and that you've put your word in our heart and in our mouth. And Lord, we are going to be brave enough to speak it out. So Father, we just thank you, Father, for just open hearts with everybody that we are practicing and we believe you, Lord. Lord, we trust you. We've already cleared this atmosphere of anything that is not of you. It is still clear. And so, Father, I just speak encouragement and release over every person here in the name of Jesus. So, shorter person, go for it. Okay, switch. Okay, stop. Now we're going to do a quick shift. I want you to turn around and find a new partner as fast as you can. Okay, does everybody have a new partner? If you don't have a partner, raise your hand. So we can get here, we got one over here. Okay, is there anyone? Raise your hand if you do not have a partner. Well, then you two partner up, you're next to each other. You were partners the last time, then somebody switch out with them real fast. Okay. All right. Now look at this partner and say, we're going to stick together for a few of these. Oh. All right. So this time, just to be the same, we're going to say the short person's going to go first again, because we're going to get those short people lubed up. And I'm going to say switch. And then the taller person is going to prophesy. Then I'll say stop, and I'm going to give new directions, okay? So I've already prayed. So go ahead, shorter person.
My name to be a mighty man of valor. I have all the days.
Okay, switch. Okay, stop. Now here, listen to these instructions. And the short people are once again going to be first. Short people, I want you to remember something from where you were prophesying to this person before I stopped you. And I want you to go back into that same vein. Do you understand? Okay, that means if you were prophesying, whatever you were prophesying about, go back into that place and keep prophesying. Pick up where you dropped off. Okay? All right? And then the tall person's going to do that. So the tall people don't get out of it. But the short people are going to show them what they got. All right? You ready? Short people, go. Okay, switch. Okay, stop. stop and sit down back wherever you want to sit down, because we're gonna do something yet new again and even more fun. I mean, was that fun? Didn't that really stir up your spirit? Because it made you like start. Because that's the place, the starting place is where if intimidation is going to show up, it shows up in the start. Because once you get going, then you don't hear intimidation. And Perry, I could hear your voice. You have a voice that carries, so I could hear your voice. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And so I could hear your voice every time I said switch, because you obviously are the taller one, whoever you're with. And so every time, I mean, there wasn't even a breath. You were on it. You were in it. Good job. Good job. Good job. Really great job. Because he was ready. I mean, he was pushing himself. That's how we push ourselves. Okay, because I don't want to run out of time to do my last thing, so we're going to do the next thing here. Then we'll do the last thing. Now, that probably makes no sense to anybody but me, but anyway, I had to tell myself. Okay, I need a volunteer. Marlene, come be our volunteer. She now wishes I didn't know her name.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, amen.
No, you got the good seat. You'll see. You'll see that this is the good seat. Because you're going to get blessed. Where did you put my little ink pen? Here it is. Okay. So what we're going to do is a group prophecy over Marlene. So, I'm going to I want to hear just six words, not phrases, one word. One word that God, you hear the Holy Spirit say over Marlene. I'm going to write them on this whiteboard, and then I'm going to pick our next volunteer who is going to look at the words on the whiteboard and prophesy to Marlene out of those words. Right? Sure. Okay. Somebody give me a word.
Warrior.
Warrior. I heard that one. Joy. Did I hear beauty? Beauty. Wait a minute. I can't write that fast. Joy. What was that one I didn't hear?
Fresh.
Faithful. That's enough words because I'm running out of board. Okay, I'm going to pick on you because you were so fast and I was so impressed. So, Perry, no, I'm going to give you a microphone and you're going to look at these words. You don't have to use all of them, but I want you to use most of them. And I want you to prophesy, and I'm going to find the other microphone. I laid it over here. And I want you to just prophesy over Marlene. First person, and just give it a go.
Marlene, when I'm looking for a warrior, I look to you, Marlene. I know that you'll stand up and you'll fight strong. And your beauty will draw men unto me. Just the beauty that I've placed in you shines through you, even as my light shines through. You're full of joy. When you walk into a room, you light the room up with your joy. Your freshness, your ideas I give you, they're all new and fresh. And you're so faithful. Whenever I need to call on you, you're there. You're there with open arms. Say, me, Lord. Choose me,
That's
Lord.
That's good. Stop. Wasn't that great? Wasn't that great? Okay. Our next volunteer is Christina. Can you see the board? I can twist it a little.
My daughter, you are a warrior. You have no fear in your heart because you have me in your heart. And you are full of my beauty. You are full of my strength. You are full of my glory because the joy of the Lord has been your strength. Joy unspeakable and full of glory has been your portion. And you are fresh because you're not looking to yourself, but you're looking to me. And you're open to what I want to say and what I want to do in and through you.
See how I am? She's just in the flow, man. She just hit the pocket. And I said, okay, stop. Because it's about starting tonight. It's about starting. It's about starting. Josh, you want to give it a try? Now, I don't want to put pressure on you, but you know, you're kind of standing here for your generation. We got some expectations.
Yeah. It's all good.
I hear the Father saying that you may not feel like a warrior, you may not feel joy, but He has placed that inside of you, and He has created inside of you just a beautifulness, like a flower coming outside of you, and He's placing that joy, and He's making you a warrior, and He's making you fresh as you spend time with Him, as you hear from Him, that beauty just comes out of you in a fresh new way for those around you. And you have to trust God in that. You have to have faith that that is what He's doing, even though...
Okay, stop. Amen. Awesome. You made your generation proud. You did. Okay, one more volunteer. Is that you wanting to volunteer, Amy? Okay, come down. I don't know if she was cheering me on or volunteering.
So can I take, like, it's...
You do what you want.
You're blessed, highly favored, fully empowered to prosper. You are blessed, highly favored of the Lord. You are blessed, highly favored, fully empowered to prosper. You are blessed, highly favored of the Lord.
All right. Okay. All right. Now, didn't you love being a volunteer?
Yes.
You can go sit down.
I didn't expect that, but thank you.
And the rest of my volunteers, I picked you because I love you. And I just figure if I love you, you love me, and there's grace for all this, right? So, except Josh doesn't know me yet. But Josh, I am lovable. I mean, you ask Grandma and Grandpa. I mean, I am. Okay. All right, okay. We're going to do one more, and then, because my last thing is really short. So, Janice Noble, come on down here. Be my volunteer. Be my volunteer. Sit in the volunteer chair. We're going to erase all these words, and we're going to just do the same thing again. So, I'm listening for 4 or 5 words. I'm going to write them down. And then the next volunteer will prophesy out of them. So give me words.
Perseverance.
Oh, that was a long word. Wait a minute. I know how to spell it. It's just a lot of word letters. Okay. Grace. Okay, another word. Strength. Liquid. Precious. One more word. Warm. Warm heart is 2 words. You can only get 1. We'll put warm. That's the first word. All right. Okay. Are you ready to be blessed? Awesome. Mr. Greg Tuzno is going to bless you. He's going to prophesy over you. He's going to use these words. He's going to let the Holy Spirit rip.
Yes, my daughter, I have put in you a strong spirit of perseverance. I have caused my strength to be made perfect in your weakness. And I have graced you with my strength. And yes, there is a flow, there is a warm flow of the liquid, of the oil of my Holy Spirit moving through you.
Okay, stop. Boy, didn't he do good working liquid in there? I wondered how that was going to happen. But you know, it wasn't him, it was the Holy Spirit. This is the whole point. This is the whole point, is that we're here in Holy Spirit and we're not bound. What this stretching exercise activation does is it shows us that we're not bound to some kind of form or some kind of language, that the Holy Spirit will work through His language, okay? Joanne, I just know you're the next volunteer. I heard it in my ear of my heart.
My daughter Janice, I love you. I love you with liquid love. It pours down through your body with the precious strength of my Holy Spirit, and you are surrounded, wrapped in my perseverance and my grace that strengthens you with every step
okay,
you
stop.
Take. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Wasn't that awesome? Isn't it? I mean, you know, I just want you to say yes. So even if you're lying, just say yes, that this is fun. I just need to hear it. So I just need to hear it because the Lord said this was going to be joyful tonight. So I need to know that I'm accomplishing my assignment. We're going to do a big switcheroony here. That's the end of that session. We're into the next session. It's a totally different session. I've got a handout. So if you two here can hand out on both sides, I would appreciate it because this is going to be fast, fast, fast. As I said to you last week, I was going to talk to you about prophesying in a war season. And so that is now what we're going to talk about. And so this is really important. I mean, probably this is the most equipping part in terms of revelation that is going to come forth tonight and really maybe even in the whole training because we are in a war season and God is upgrading us. And so one of the things that he challenged me with, that I'm challenging you with, because that's how this works, is that to prophesy scripture. You know, if you are a prayer warrior like Marlene is, and she is, there have probably been a lot of times you've prayed scripture. You may have decreed scripture. You may have declared scripture. But the Lord says, I want you to take it up the next step. I want you to prophesy scripture. So this is what I want to talk to you about for a minute. And we are going to have a quick activation. I got to get my notes here in the right place. Because I do want to give you a couple of scriptures. And I've got my sword up here. I've been carrying this around since yesterday. And I got my sword up here on the banner. And there's our... This is why we put this away. Because I want to talk to you because a visual makes a difference. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as for the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And so I want you to see the sword, and I want you to remember back to the last session where God was prophesying over Jeremiah, and he says, "The words I put in your mouth, they're going to uproot, they're going to tear down, they're going to destroy, but they're also going to build." And there was another one, I can't remember, but anyway, it'll come back to me. And so I want you to know that what the prophetic word does, first of all, the prophetic word, I don't know how to do this, I have to lay my microphone down. The prophetic word has a leading edge, so I want you to see the edge of the sword. So as the prophetic word is released and comes out, there's a leading edge that comes down from the throne and it comes into your heart, and there is a frequency with that, a sound with that, that is powerful, and it comes equipped with whatever God wants it to do. If he wants it to build, it has building material in it. If he wants it to uproot, it has uprooting material in it. If he wants it to shatter, it has shatter material in it. It is coded in heaven. Okay, it's coded in heaven. And so there's this leading edge, and you can get yourself so prophetically attuned that you can hear the sound of the word coming before the word comes. So I'm challenging some of you with that. It's like, sort of like the wind of the Spirit, but it's not. It's different. Okay? The other thing I want you to see on this sword that is very prophetic is, you know, you got the tip here, and the tip pierces, breaks open, can rearrange and move. That's what the prophetic word does. The prophetic word carries a breaker anointing. It can break open. It can break apart. It can rearrange. And all of that is done from this part of the sword. Now I'm going to lay this sword down and go talk about this sword and the banner. So this banner is Psalms 24:1, where the Lord says, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. That's what this banner is about. So this is the earth, and the sword is God's word. Remember, he prophesied in the beginning. He prophesied everything that's in the earth. He prophesied whether it was minerals and water under the earth or the vegetation on top or Adam and Eve that he created to put in the garden. God created it all. And so then the prophetic picture here is from the very center to the highest heaven is held together, it tells us in Hebrews 1:3, by the power, it's all sustained by the power of God's word. And so when you release the prophetic word, those are the dynamics that are happening in the heaven realm. Well, we're in a war season. I think everybody knows that there's a lot of things going on culturally. There's a lot of things going on governmentally, economically, schools, you name it. It's in war. Things are being revealed. Things are being uprooted. And we want the right things planted. And so what the Lord showed me, now I've not heard anybody teach on this. Maybe somebody else is teaching on it, but I haven't heard it. That's not the point. I'm just telling you that this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. I learned this from the Holy Spirit. And so I was asking the Holy Spirit, how is this different from a decree or a declaration? And it's because you're going to speak it as God's speaking it. It's because you're going to speak it first person. Like in particular, where the Holy Spirit took me was to the middle chapters, the middle 40s chapters in Isaiah, where there's lots of times that it talks about God speaking, but there's these particular scriptures in the middle 40s of Isaiah where the Lord speaks very, it's like sovereign words. Is that he says, I am Lord. I'm first and last. I put time and place. I can draw a bird from the east. I will accomplish my purposes. I. So the big shift up is the I. The I. Just like what we talked about last week, is making it first person. That is then using the tip of the spear. You can say it otherwise, and it's still the word of the Lord, but you didn't use the tip. Because it's the authority level that comes with the I said. You know, the Lord says, I say. It's that part that breaks open. It's that part. So don't leave that part out. Okay? So another thing that you need to know before we go into the activation, I should look at my notes. And so Isaiah 11:4, because I want to give you more scripture. This is the second part of verse 4, and this is a prophecy about Jesus. And so this is about Jesus. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. What does that sound like? It sounds like the sword of the Lord. It sounds like just what it says. He's going to strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Well, a lot of the prophetic words that God is going to release in the time going forward, we're going to see a lot of prophetic words that fit this definition. They're going to be the rod of his mouth striking the earth. There's a scripture in Psalm 110, I think it's verse 2, but it doesn't matter, where the Lord says that he will extend his scepter from Zion. Well, that's talking about authority to rule and reign. And he's going to rule and reign through Zion. Zion is roughly thought of as the church. I won't go into the details of that. Apostle Bob has taught on it in the past. But You've got that scepter and the sword. The scepter is God's given us the authority to speak the word that is the rod of his mouth that will strike the earth. Well, what is going on right now? We see the meltdown of all the seven mountains. I mean, chaos, confusion, corruption, crime, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's terrible. Well, but there has to be an order put in. There has to be boundaries set. I couldn't put every scripture in here. I didn't put that one. But there are scriptures, I think I just read it in Proverbs, but where God says he gave commands, I think it was Proverbs 8, that he gives commands where the waves cannot go but so far. That's the rod of his mouth striking the earth. So there's places where God wants to speak into the mountains of influence, into the spheres of influence, into the cultures that are in the earth, into the nations and cities and people groups that are in the earth, where he wants to send his the rod of his mouth to release his commands. So that this is what this is about. So I just want you to get the idea of it. Matthew 10:34, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, the word sword means division. So what did Jesus come to do? He came to divide what the religious was doing to show who the real true God was. This is what the rod does. This is what the sword does. It's the function of the sword. It's the function of the prophetic word. And so the Lord wants us to prophesy his word, his written word out of his holy Bible into places that he reveals to us to do it. Okay? And this is doing what Christ did. Because Jesus says here, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Of course, they didn't understand this because the Jewish people at that time, they were subject to the Romans. They were wanting their nation reestablished. So they were looking for the Messiah to do that because they didn't have a full picture of what God wanted to do. Well, what God wanted to do was bring redemption into the earth. And that's what the sword... That's what he's looking to do again. It's a reset. Many think it will be a third great awakening. So with that will come the rod from his mouth, will come the sword that sets new boundaries for what God wants to release from heaven, not what Susie wants, because Susie's not smart enough to know the right thing. So I just listen to hear what God says. Deuteronomy 32:1-3 says, "Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain." Wow. Wow. This is moving in this realm of prophesying wartime. Now, this is going to get bigger than what I'm releasing tonight. This is just a beginning. But I want to share this tonight. And I want to share here, this is the reason I put this last scripture in Deuteronomy. Because it says here, "You earth, hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain." One of the other Hebrew words for the prophetic is rain or dew. And so the way that kind of prophetic word comes is it falls over it, covers it, sinks in, and saturates. It's the kind of, you know, it comes and does a work that's not through the nabi where the word is coming one word right after another, and it's like a geyser that comes up, which is a good thing. But sometimes God wants to release the rain or the dew of his word, which goes in and covers and saturates and sinks in and does the work in a different way. Just giving you another little caveat there. So what I passed out to you was I made some examples. And the first example, I did it as a prophecy over a city. This is actually what we released Tuesday at First Fruits. It's straight out scripture, reworded. reworded for to release the rod of his mouth in a specific place in a specific way. So I'm just going to read it to you. The key words are not changed. The only thing that is changed is to make it personalized, okay? So this is Isaiah 62, 2 through 4. The Lord says to you, Detroit, the nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. Detroit, you will be called by a new name that my mouth, the mouth of the Lord, will bestow. Detroit, you will be a crown of splendor in my hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call Detroit deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Heslopa and your land Beulah, for I will take delight in you, Detroit, and your land will be made. Married. Now that's a prophetic word. That's a prophetic word that doesn't match up to anything that's happening in the city. We would probably all agree to that. So when you release these wartime prophecies, they're not going to blend in with what's happening, because they come in as the sword to stake a new place. Right? Okay? So that's what we're talking about here. But I don't just get to go into the Bible and pick verses that just kind of go with my agenda or my desires that could be come from wherever. This goes with the Rhema word. You know, when we're reading the word, the Holy Spirit will do what we call a Rhema word, where you are reading and all of a sudden something jumps out at you. And it's just like, you know, there's something about that. You don't know what it is about it, but you know something's about it different. Whether it's the first time you've read it or the millionth time you've read it, there's an anointing on it. There's something on it that's alive, and you can feel the aliveness in your heart because it's Christ in you responding to it. Those are the things that we are going to respond to and write into prophetic decrees and prophesy over what God wants us to prophesy over. Does that make sense? So it's not a pick and choose and make your own theology and, you know, it's not that. It's still all by the Holy Spirit. So I put in a few different examples here. So I've got a prophecy over a financial breakthrough where I used three different scriptures and blended them together. I have a prophecy here, that's when you're overwhelmed or confused in a situation. I have a prophecy of encouragement and strength, and a prophecy when battling the voice of the enemy coming against you. So we're taking it a level higher than a decree or a declaration, because we're rewording it and prophesying it from the mouth of the Lord. The rod coming down, like it says in Isaiah 11, the rod coming out of the mouth of Jesus and striking the earth or the city or the business or the situation and planting something new. Does that make sense? Okay. So now we've got time. Do we have time? I'm looking. Oh, it's exactly 8:30. So, will you give me 5 more minutes? Okay, we'll do 5 more minutes because we can do an activation in 5 minutes. Go back and get the same partner you had the last time so you don't have to find somebody new. Go get who you had the last time. And take your sheet of paper with you. And you're just going to practice so the other person can hear you. So this is not prophesying over the person. This is just somebody witnessing you as you prophesy. Okay? Does that make sense? So we're not prophesying over the person. Nope. 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 Just listen. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to pick out one of these and you're just going to prophesy it into the atmosphere. And your partner is going to listen. And you can put your name in there. That's what I did on all of mine. I said, Susie, the Lord says, I'm your hiding place and your protection in times of trouble. Put your own name in there, but prophesy it out for the other person to be a witness to the word. And then do the other. This is just you to get This is just for you to be activated and familiarized with even just doing this, okay? Does that make sense? Can everybody pick one out? It doesn't matter which one you pick out, just pick one out. And then I'm going to have the tall person go first again. And you're just going to prophesy it into the atmosphere, use your own name. And then I'm going to have the shorter person do it, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Okay?
You want us to put our name in there?
Put your name in there. Okay, everybody got it. Put your name in there. You're not prophesying over your partner. Your partner's just listening and witnessing. Okay? You're going to prophesy your name, and if it has a name spot, you're going to use your name, and you're just going to prophesy it out. Because I will be honest with you about the biggest place, the biggest opportunity to prophesy is when you're by yourself, when you're with the Lord, when you're driving your car. It's not in front of the church. It's not in a prophetic team. All of those are good, but there's great impact that we can make by just prophesying in our normal walk in the day, if we're open to it. Okay? So this is the opening right here. So, okay, taller person's going to go first. And then the shorter person, just pick one out and go ahead and start to prophesy into the atmosphere, the one that you're going to use. Your name. Go ahead and start. Okay, go ahead and switch as soon as the first person's done. When you're done, go ahead and take your seat. Because I just want to pray and seal all of this. And thank you for letting me go over. I did in 10 minutes early last week, so I guess it comes out in the wash. All right, is everybody ready to sit down? Okay. Because I want to tell you why to hold on to this sheet of paper. You know, there was even a shift this last weekend in the atmosphere. And, you know, there's something coming. There is something coming. So God is trying to equip us with weapons. And he is saying that this is a weapon, that there are going to be some things that come, that you're not going to know what to do with them. You're going to have to hear the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will lead you to Scripture, and you can take the sword. And as you stand on the rock, you can steady your stand with the sword, and you can drive it into the earth and say, thus far and no more. We are talking about warfare here. We are talking about standing in the Lord. We are talking about not being pushed back when the Lord says to take a stand. And so what he's doing is he's equipping us in a practical way to know how to do that. And so while this was a short part of tonight, it was a very important and critical part of the night, but not hard to get hold of or not hard to understand. So take this sheet of paper and stick it somewhere where you can find it again and pull it out. And I know you'll go to look for it when that shaking that shakes you and the one that shakes me And I'm thinking, what do I do now? And then I'm going to remember, and then I'm going to pull out my Bible and say, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me what to prophesy into this. Show me how to speak into this storm. Show me what to say into this shaking. Because you want to know something? Not all the shaking's the devil. You have to discern what is of God and what is not. And so there's different scriptures that you would use in those instances. And so, you know, we need discernment. We need each other. Call somebody. Ask them to believe with you, to speak it out with you. Don't be afraid to use this tool. God says it's a tool he's putting in our hand for this time and for what's coming. And it is a tool that will help us to overcome, to prevail, and to advance. Because while some things are being uprooted, other things are being built. And so, while we are in a season of uprooting, God is also building. So you don't know where the shaking's going to come. You don't know where the scripture is going to come from, but the Holy Spirit will show you, and we have nothing to fear. This is what God is saying. He always equips us and prepares us. So not only do we know that there's something coming that we can't define, but we know that it's going to be very disruptive. God's saying, I'm showing you how to stand in it. I'm showing you how to release the rod of the mouth of Jesus Christ. I've given you the authority. And the Lord says, I've already taken my sword from the highest heavens to the center of the earth and all of the heavenlies. And the Lord says that it's mine and I sustain it by the power of my word. So this is what this is all wrapped up in. So Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that you equip us. I thank you, Lord, that you've made us strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I thank you that you put the weapons of war into our mouth, Lord God, and into our hands. And so, Father, we readily receive them and are grateful for them and thankful for them. And we say, Holy Spirit, show us how to use them. Show us how to use them. Give us vision. Give us understanding. Bring words to us, Lord God, and show us how to write it up. And we will be bold to prophesy beyond declarations, beyond decrees. Not that there's anything wrong with those things, but prophecy is more. And so the Lord says, step into the more. Go beyond where you've gone and step into the more, because I'm equipping you for the more so that you can stand strong and build with me, says the Lord. So Father, we thank you for sealing what you've done in this prophetic training. We thank you for your hand of blessing, your equipping, and your power that you've put in each one of us. We thank you that you've linked us together as one, and that we have locked our shields together, and we move in that move that I can't remember the name of it, but we move together and we are totally covered, and we're covering each other by the word and the power and the might of Jesus Christ and your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.